Well, open up your Bibles to a place it's never been before. Romans chapter 8. Still teaching on healing as in the atonement. And I like reading after and following after people that have made it. Well, that's one reason we follow after Pastor Dave. I've seen so many miracles through his ministry. Plus, I've seen the fruit of love through Pastor Dave, probably as much as any human being on planet Earth. I like how they say, you know, with Dave, you just poke him with a stick anywhere and only love comes out. And I keep warning people, well, don't poke me like that. I'm still on that journey. He's way ahead of me somewhere up there, you know. That's why I'm following, see. But I like reading after and following after men like Smith Wigglesworth. Somebody reminded me again of one of Smith's outstanding miracles. He was ministering to this one fellow that had no feet. And he says, I want you to go tomorrow and buy a pair of shoes. Well, who for? For yourself. I prayed for you. Go buy a pair of shoes. Have you all heard this story? So he goes, this guy goes to the shoe store the next day, coming however he comes in. I don't know why he's some kind of whatever. Comes in, no feet. I remember this part, he asked the clerk, I need a pair of shoes. And the clerk, well, who for? And he says, well, for me. And the clerk looks down. And he goes, really? And he goes, what size? And the guy goes, doesn't matter. I need a pair of black shoes. Guy goes, brings the shoes, and the feet grow as the man puts the stumps into the shoes. I don't believe that's a lie. That's from multiple witnesses that lived at the time say that that event really happened. Well, if anybody ever made it, we could make it. You hear me? You can hear me? I believe that should be a common thing. Hallelujah. Well, I like following after men like Smith Wigglesworth and also John G. Lake. And I had you open to Romans 8 because I'm going to read again the testimony of John G. Lake, his own testimony about the bubonic plague. Because have y'all been thinking about that and meditating on that and rolling it over in you? And so here, I brought it with me here. This is the testimony of John G. Lake during the bubonic plague in South Africa. Now, this is his own words. He says, now watch the action of the law of life. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Faith has the opposite effect in spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emanation of the Spirit destroys disease germs. Now, did you hear that? Emanations. That's what emanates from you. Emanates. Comes from within, without. Emanates. Okay? He says, because we are in contact with the spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes and carried them out, dug the graves and put them in. Sometimes we would put three or four in one grave. We never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. You remember Peter in his writings, in his two letters, he said that we should grow, and Paul also several places, we need to grow in the knowledge of God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is some of our growing in knowledge right here. Let's read after somebody who made it. Okay? We never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working. And because of the fact that a man, by that action of his will, puts himself directly and purposely in contact with God. Did you get that? By an act of his will. I remember one time, and he's doing it again in this season, the Holy Spirit reminding me. He says, the most important thing in your life right now, son, is becoming constantly aware that I am with you. And he could have said in you, but that's just... He wanted me to become constantly aware of his presence. And I believe we're all too often forget that. Now, we're going to add to that a little bit tonight. You're going to see why here in a little bit. Not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but we have not given enough... credit is not exactly the word. We have not understood well enough this law of life. This law of life in our reborn human spirit. Because that's really what he's talking about here. See, anybody knows that the Holy Spirit can kill germs. But what is this about the law of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? That's the new nature. It kills germs. Just keep reading. We never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working because of the fact that a man, by that action of his will, puts himself purposely in contact with God. Faith takes possession of his heart, and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he is full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, His spirit repels sickness and disease. I've been reading this. I don't even know how many times, and I'm still getting stuff out of it. I want to understand it the way he understood it, because I want to walk in it the way he walked in it. The Spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emanates through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. Well, if Alan was teaching right now, he'd be going cell for cell. You remember how Dave would teach that? You've got a spiritual mind within your natural mind. You've got spiritual eyes within your natural eyes, and they're cell for cell. Remember? Okay. During that plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and a corps, C-O-R-P-S, of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, what have you been using to protect yourself? Our corps has this preventative. He's talking about some kind of medicine or tonic or something. We have a preventative, which we use as protection. But we concluded that if a man could stay on the ground as you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it? And he's expecting... you know, probably a plant or a leaf or some kind of something that they discovered in the Africa there. I answered, brother, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul, notice carefully the phrasing, as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God, so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, no germ will ever attach itself to me. What if the whole body of Christ had that? I mean, really had it. And I don't like snakes. I really don't. Some people do and keep them as pets. I don't really like snakes. I remember that movie, Indiana Jones, and he falls into that pit and he goes, snakes. Why does it have to be snakes? Okay, anyway. But you know, if there was a reason you had to go in there to rescue somebody or something, and it's poisonous snakes, I mean, not many would do it because you know you'd die, see. But if you had just been injected with the antidote to snake venom, then you could go in there pretty much without fear. Now, you might not like it still. I wouldn't like it. But you could do it and you'd have a whole different attitude. Now, what if we get this attitude? See, Jesus, he gave us hints to this. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You'll take up serpents. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He gave us hints. Well, let's read some more here about from John G. Lake. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it. So this doctor asked, well, don't you think that you had better use our preventatives? I replied, no. But doctor, I think that you would like to experiment with me. If you'll go over to one of those dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death, then put it under the microscope, you will see masses of living germs. You will find that they are alive until a reasonable time after a man is dead. You can fill my hand with them, and I will keep it under the microscope, and instead of these germs remaining alive, they will die instantly. They tried it and found that it was true. They questioned, well, what is that? I replied, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills the germs. Suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death and I were in fear and darkness, the very opposite would have been the result. The result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs, and these would have generated disease, and I would have died. Now John G. Lake is talking to all of us. You who are sick, put yourself in contact with God's law of life. The question might arise, how would I do that? Read his word with the view of enlightening your heart, so that you will be able to look up with more confidence and believe him. What did Jesus say here recently to me? He walked right through the wall, right over there, walked right over here. And he picked up my Bible, held it up, and just said, I want to be believed. We've been teaching, I've got a couple more sentences, but we've been teaching about eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Went back to when they ate the lamb. Remember at Passover, if the only message was be saved from death, you could have stopped with the instructions at the painting of the blood on the doorpost and just hunkered down behind the door till after the death angel come through and you didn't die. That would be the type and shadow of being saved from death or alive. But there was more instruction than that. No. I want you to roast that lamb with fire. I want you to eat it. I want you to eat it till you can't eat anymore. And if there's anything left, I want you to roast that with fire till there's nothing left. And as they followed that instruction and they're physically eating the lamb so that the lamb becomes them, got to remember, Jesus is the lamb and he is also the word. He is the word made flesh. As you eat the lamb, as you eat the word, as you read the word and believe it, the word literally becomes one with you. You eat it. I don't know how you can eat anything without putting it in your mouth. You take the word of God and you don't just read it. You say it, you mutter it, you meditate it, until it's one with you. I'm going to go through it again. I don't know why when I meditate that, I'm a nine-year-old child. And I'm watching because my Aunt Gertrude was there. Almost 100 years old, feeble, bent over, two teeth. Now, we all hunkered down behind the door because nobody wanted to die. right? But I watched my Aunt Gertrude as she ate that lamb. Every bite, her countenance got a little better. She sat up a little straighter in her chair. By the time it was all finished, she was walking as straight as anybody. And when the next day they come out to start their journey to the promised land, she didn't need anybody to carry her because there was not one feeble one among them. The life that was in the lamb was now in her flesh. And the healing, what a shadow. What a shadow, type in a shadow. Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, and with his stripes we were healed. Amen? Amen? She says the next day, now she may have come in feeble, bent over, two teeth, barely can see. But by the time she ate that lamb, the next day she's going to give me my backpack too. I'm able to walk out of here myself. What can I carry for you? So he says, you who are sick, put yourself in contact with God's law of life. Read his word with the view of enlightening your heart so that you will be able to look up with more confidence and believe him. Pray that the Spirit of God will come into your soul. See, now this is, the way he's wording it is a little different than how the Holy Spirit said it to me, but he was trying to get it across to me. Our soul is involved in this. He says, Gary, your number one assignment, the thing that's more important than anything else, become constantly aware that I'm with you. See, Jesus said about the disciples, though, he said, yeah, the Holy Spirit's with you, but he shall be. See, and that's even, he's in you. We'll get there in a minute. Take possession. Okay, I'm going to read that sentence again. Pray that the Spirit of God will come into your soul and take possession of your body, and its power will make you well. That is the exercise of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, if you haven't found Romans 8 by now, of course, I know here at the prayer center, you just set your Bible on its spine and it falls open to Romans 8. So let's look at it. Let's start in verse 1, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here's the verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, without question, the main subject that Paul is talking about here by the Holy Ghost is free from sin. I mean, that's the main subject here. And you, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, that is the main emphasis. But I remember when Dave was teaching on the Born Again Trail, he told us then. He said, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it doesn't just make you free from sin. It sets you free from all of sin's cousins. Remember? He said, he's talking about sickness, disease, depression, emotional problems, mental disease. And I see that. We see that fulfilled in Jesus. We've been reading it every service practically. We go to the New Testament then, where they brought unto him the halt, the maimed, the devil-possessed, those that had unclean spirits, those that were lunatic, those that had the palsy. I mean, and every, it says every sickness and every disease, and he healed them. And not once, you can search it out for yourself. I've already done it. Not once does he ever turn anyone away that came for healing. He had to instruct a few of them. The one guy had to pray for him twice. I see men as trees walking. Let's pray for you again. But everybody who came to Jesus for healing, they got it. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do we have to conclude? What is the obvious lesson? It's the Father's will to heal them all. And I don't care what it looks like. And I don't care if everybody and their dog has already prayed. You know, like When Jesus come down off the Mount of Transfiguration and his hand-trained disciples that had already been casting out devils and already healing the sick, he comes down off the mountain with the ones that went with him, and they weren't able to heal this one. That doesn't tell us for sure, but it gives us all those details for a reason, that the manifestations in this one were difficult on the senses. The young man foamed at the mouth, wallowed on the ground. I wonder what sounds he made. Rolled into the fire, throw him in the water. I mean, this one was a bad one. And I believe those manifestations affected them more than they realized. And it didn't come out. And Jesus, he did not come. He saw it. He did not go, well, it's just not always God's will to heal. Is that what he said? Oh, that was church that I went to. They're the ones that said that. That's right. Because he was not happy. Now, he loves us all the time, but still, he was not happy. You can read it in how he said it. He said, how long am I going to be with you? Basically, he's going, how long am I? Didn't I teach you how to do this? How long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring him here to me. And did you notice, if you read all four of them and put it together, you'll notice when they started bringing it up to Jesus, did you see that it manifested again? And Jesus says, whoa, how long has he been like this? Because it threw him on the ground and throwing him around. Well, that's what it did with the others. And it affected what they saw, affected them. At least I'm sure of it. Didn't affect Jesus. What did he do? Cast it out. I wonder if he did it like Dave did that time. Alan likes to tell this story. You know, there was a whole bunch of people, and they were all trying to cast the devil out of this person, and it wasn't coming out. And this, you know, devils like attention. Did you know that? Yeah. They love attention, and they were getting it. And they'd come out, and some were shouting, I don't know what all was going on, but the devil wasn't coming out. And they're all getting kind of tired, you know. So anyway, Dave comes over there and he bends down and he whispers something that they can't hear. The person hasn't changed. But Dave just whispers something, comes up and continues his message. You know how he does, you know, with his fingernails. And then the Lord said, you know, he's inspecting his fingernails. And manifestations are still going on. He says, oh, don't worry, it's coming out. And he just kept on and ignoring it. And finally, the person just came to themselves, and they were okay. And it was obvious the devil was gone. And they're all, what did you say? Like it's got to be some kind of magical, secret, hidden revelation wisdom that only Pastor Dave Roberson has received, you know. What did you say to that devil? And Dave goes, no, it's too deep. Not for you, sorry. No. No, it's too deep, sorry, too deep. You can't handle it. What did you say? Come on, what did you say? He says, well, what I did, I bit down and I whispered and I said, in Jesus' name, come out. The difference was, Dave believed it. And he was not moved by any manifestations. And that devil had to come out. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. That good stuff or what? Well, I've been meditating on this a lot, about this law of the Spirit of life. Come on down to verse 11 in Romans 8. Now, Dave, as you know, did a college course on this. It's in the Born Again Trail, verse by verse by verse. It's just, you know, I'm not about to even attempt to try and... but I do want to bring up one point here in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, obviously, he's talking about, he mentioned it quickened Jesus' dead body and raised it from the dead. But did you know a dead body is not mortal? Mortal, look it up, means subject to death. But the way this is worded in the last part, I've often wondered before, is he talking about it'll minister to our bodies while we're still wearing it? Because the way it's worded, he will also quicken your mortal body. And I looked it up to make sure mortal is really in there, and it is. He will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. And Dave was meticulous. He was emphatic, and he's right. That's not right there talking about the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about right there is the reborn human spirit that once it was kind of breathed into Jesus by the Holy Ghost, it quickened his body and raised him from the dead. But see, the way he words it to us, he doesn't say it'll quicken your dead body, does it? It says it'll quicken your mortal body. This is exactly what John G. Lake is talking about. That law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Now, we're talking about the new nature, not the Holy Ghost. The new nature will quicken your mortal body, the one that you're wearing now, the one that's subject to death. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's flowing through it, too. We don't want to get too technical here. But now, let's meditate. Let's meditate for a minute. Now, when it's just speculation and it's my opinion, I do my best to tell you, it's speculation and my opinion. My speculation and my opinion is, I don't think Jesus was ever sick. We don't have any record of it, but I don't think even as a child he was ever sick. I think sickness attacked him all the time, just like it attacks anybody's body all the time. Born into a fallen world, germs be there. Germs are going to attack your body. But I just, in myself, I could be wrong, and I'm open. I mean, I'm not preaching this as doctrine. But I just don't believe Jesus. I don't think sickness was ever able to attach itself to his body. I think that law of the spirit of life, that was all he, what we call the second birth, he had at his first birth. He had that law of life on the inside of him from the get-go. Okay, and I believe that it kept him free. Now, again, that's my opinion. You're welcome to disagree with me. I'm not preaching that part as doctrine. This is where my meditator is, okay? But now, this I do know is doctrine. Even if that is true, and I believe it is, even if that is true, that law of the spirit of life in Christ in him kept his body, which was mortal, by the way. His body was as mortal as yours. His spirit came from God, but his body came from Mary. That's what made him the God-man. Spirit from God, man from the earth. Amen? Okay? So his body was as mortal as anybody's body. But I personally don't think he was ever sick. I think exactly what John G. Lake describes was happening with him all the time. And it prevented him personally from becoming sick. But now this is the part that's not speculation. What we do know for sure, that health on the inside of him, that life on the inside of him, as long before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's no record he ever healed anybody. In other words, the law of the spirit of life within him kept him free. In the same way that John G. Lake and that Dutch boy, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus kept them free. Okay, but I noticed they weren't, and now Jesus would have, but they didn't try and stop the plague. I believe Jesus would have stopped it myself, but again, that's speculation. Now, the point is this. The law of the spirit of life, I'm going to preach like John G. Lake knew what he's talking about. Assuming that he is correct, and I think he is, and going off of Romans 8:11 there, where that law will quicken your mortal body. Okay? I believe that's what kept Jesus from ever getting sick. But how did Dave say that? He says he would take the verse in First Corinthians 2, what knoweth a man save the spirit of man that is within him? And he'd say, you have your own spirit. It's reborn, but it's still you. It's your individual human spirit. See, and your spirit is your spirit. You can't transfer your spirit to some other person. They have their own spirit. Yeah, does that make sense? But see, so that's why Jesus' reborn firstborn human life spirit, could keep his own body from becoming sick. In other words, it could kill and repel every germ. But that was his own individual human spirit. And there was no mechanism to transfer that to anybody else. But see, that's where the baptism in the Holy Ghost comes in. Because the baptism in the Holy Ghost, now once he had that, once he had that, now, see, the nature of the Holy Spirit and your human spirit, can I say it this way? Your human spirit is cut from the same cloth. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is the same in you and same in the Holy Spirit. Because you're cut from the same cloth. The Holy Spirit is able to take that life of God and go beyond you. Because remember, nobody in the four Gospels who got healed were born again. Their healing did not come from their spirit. Got that? Am I making sense? Their spirit did not come from within them, because none of them had that life in them. Their healing, the healing came from who? Came from the Holy Ghost. We got to understand the difference here, see? Just because you can walk, as a born-again person, I'm believing now more and more, you can walk free from sin. All of us sin, yes. We can also walk free from sickness. Now, I know this flies in the face of my 70 years of history on planet Earth. It flies in the face of all the experience that we've all had. But we are not going to base our doctrine on our experience. We are going to base our doctrine on the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And from what I'm seeing here, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus for any born-again person is able to repel every disease for that person individually. Now, you can't transfer that. You're not the healer. God gave you that life, and you have it within your own spirit to keep your own body, your mortal body. It will quicken you and your mortal body, but you can't use that life to quicken somebody else's mortal body. But the Holy Spirit can. And he can do it even in people that aren't born again. Your healing comes from within. Their healing comes from without. But it's still, even the Holy... Now, this is... Strap up now. Get your seatbelt on. Even though... See, with all of those songs we have, and I love them, I sing them, I cry with them like you do. Come down, Holy Spirit, come down. Bring, you know, we have all these songs about the Holy Spirit coming down, God coming down. No. The Holy Spirit comes from within you. You are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. When he baptized you, he baptized your spirit. God made a holy of holies on the inside of you. You couldn't make yourself holy enough. There's no way you could make yourself holy enough for God the Holy Ghost to... If the old you and the Holy Ghost ever come in contact with each other, one of you is going to be toast and it isn't going to be him. What did God say to Moses? You can't see my face and live. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. Well, what's that type of? That's the rock. That's Jesus, see? Only in Jesus. So because we couldn't get ourselves holy enough, nothing we could do to make a place in us for the Holy Spirit to dwell, God, by the new birth, he made a holy of holies on the inside of you. It's because you're born again, that's why the Holy Spirit can dwell in you, see? But he does dwell in you. We've got to get over this idea of, oh, God, come down. You know, and even Dave, some of the symbolism, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, yeah, we want to see the ceiling roll back like one of them old-fashioned tuna cans, you know, and the glory of God come pouring down. No, 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 the glory of God comes from within you. The Holy Ghost is in you. He dwells in you, you little powerhouse, you. But it's not you healing in nobody. It's Christ in you. But what I mean by that, that nature born of him, that new creature on the inside of you that is born in his likeness, that is the very one the Holy Ghost anoints with power. When you pray, that power comes from within you, goes into them. And he'll heal people that aren't born again. He'll heal the good, the bad, and the ugly. I have searched, and that's why we're still going to do it some more. I'm going to wear you out with this all year, telling you now. I'm tired of losing them. We're going to stop losing them. Cancer's going to start losing. You hear me? Cancer's going to start losing them to the healed. I can just see cancer come in. Mr. Cancer, he comes in, hangs his hat on the hook after a long day's work. Mrs. Cancer, how'd it go today? Lost 5 more at the prayer center. They all got healed. Let's get cancer to losing some. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A prophecy came out of me Sunday night, and the way it came out, I didn't realize it was prophecy even. Later on, they're going, where was that prophecy? I go, prophecy? I had to almost go back and listen. I did remember it finally. I had to almost go back and hear it again. They say, anyway, I don't want to compare myself with him, but other preachers have had that happen. You know what it was? An avalanche of finances is coming to the prayer center. Whew. It's not just healing, people. It's not just healing. All of God's will. All of God's will is coming. Holiness, an avalanche of holiness, an avalanche of purity, an avalanche of revelation, an avalanche of healing. You're going to be, how did Dave say it? You're going to be a happy camper. Happy camper. I look around the room on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. You know, to me, you guys are the diehards of the diehards. You know, I look around and I look at me, I look at you, and I'm thinking 20 years ago when I started here, I don't think I would have picked us. That scripture, not many mighty, not many noble. Let's see, God has chosen the foolish thing. I said, oh, okay, yeah, that's us. Okay, he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. See, you're just foolish enough to believe him. Foolish enough to believe him. Paul said, if we're a fool, we're a fool for Christ's sake. Yes. Amen. God. Whew. Stay here, feet. We've got to finish preaching. Hallelujah. Let me get back in here again. I'm trying to get past my security blanket of my printed Bible. Let's look at verse 11 again. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him... Now, this is the new nature. I know it's capital in the King James, but this should all be little s until you get to verse 16. Every time you see Spirit, this is Born Again Trail 101. Every time you see the word Spirit in Romans chapter 8, they should all be small s's until you get to verse 16. So if the Spirit of him, meaning the new nature that God gave you, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, in other words, if you have been born again, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, should be a little less. That's exactly what John G. Lake is describing in that letter. That law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. He says, now, but notice the way he worded it, your soul, not just your spirit. See, if you're born again, you've got that nature on the inside of you. You've got that life. Okay, let's use a different analogy. If you're born again, does it not say that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death? Now, let's take sin. You've been made free from sin. Question, don't raise your hand. Has anybody sinned? Don't raise it. Well, you know you have. In other words, you can, even though you don't have to. I'm finding out now. You can be sick, but you don't have to be. You can be sick, but you don't have to be. We are growing in the knowledge of him. Growing in the knowledge of what he's done for us. continuing to possess the land. I'm telling you, there is a place, I see it now, I'm seeing it better all the time. There is a place in God where we walk as though we were already creatures from another, well, we already are, but manifested, walking as the sons that we really are. Doesn't it say we should walk as he walked? We're getting there. But we're not going to get there with half-hearted, mamby-pamby, double-minded, son of God in the morning, sinner in the evening. He loves me in the morning. I'm pretty sure he don't in the evening. I'm anointed in the morning, not sure about now. That's not it. He wasn't like that. And he's also stayed in fellowship with his Father. See, I read in there where he would spend all night in prayer. Gary doesn't do that. Yet. It's not a legal thing. It's just, I believe he, how did John G. Lake put it there? A man on purpose keeps his soul in contact. Jesus on purpose kept his soul in contact with the Father. The way he said it to me, you have to become constantly aware. Become constantly aware that my presence is with you. Sue sometimes will, she's just being the good wife that she is, you know. Because I'm quick to help people. I really am. I'm quick. If I can find, you know, I'm a doer. I like to do things. And so I'll just use my mother might call and say, I'm out of this kind. Do y'all have any of this kind of medicine? I'm out. My reaction is to get the medicine and bring it to her and go back home. And she said, well, you did pray for her too. Never entered my mind. Now that's confession time. None of you are ever like that. What does that say about Gary? I'm a long ways from being constantly aware that he's with me. Now who can change that? Do I sit around and wait on God to change that? I'm the only one that'll ever change that equation. My first thought is not run to the drugstore. My first thought is let's pray. See? Am I preaching okay? Y'all getting anything out of this? So I'm going to counsel you. What are you going to do on purpose? See, because remember how he worded that? A man of his own will purposes to keep his soul in contact. The living God, praying in tongues would be one way to help. Reading the word. All of the things that are taught here are good, don't you think? But it's even more than that. Now, see, that's too simple, God. Let me pause just a moment for him. You know what he flashed in front of me? I think it may be just this simple. I remember the early days when Sue and I first started coming to this church. We had never heard such teaching in our life about why you should pray in tongues or there was any reason to do it. But we listened to Dave and listened to Dave, and he just made so much sense. And I'm the kind, Sue knows, I check it out in the Bible. I check out every verse, and I eventually couldn't find where he was lifting anything out of context. I said, I think he's telling the truth. Sad that I had to come to that place where I didn't trust pastors. But I didn't. I had been hurt by some well-meaning pastors before that were just, anyway. And so I made that decision. And this is, I'll get to the vision here in a minute, what he brought in front of me. So I remember it was December of 1994. No, it was December of 1992. And I made the decision, because at that time I was in the long-haul trucking. And I said, Lord, I'm going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. I'm stuck in the cab of this truck anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week. Lord, I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to turn off the CB. And if I'm driving in the cab of this truck, I will be praying. That's real easy to say. So I'd start. And like Dave says, you know, at first you don't know any better. So I figure, you know, if the louder you pray, the more authority you have. You know. So you start off like, Shandalabako Sandarabastoriata. You know, Okay, I got to get some phlegm in there. It's not God, you know. And a little Hebrew sounding in there. Anyway. Well, after about 3 hours of that, you can tell your voice is not going to last because a shift is 10 hours long, you know. Say, okay, this is so. Yep, Dave's right. It doesn't matter the volume. It matters the syllables, the content. So I learned to pray softly. But here's the point. Because when I said that a while ago, what more can we do? I mean, you can pray in tongues. You can read the word. You can do all of these things that were taught. You can worship. But then when I was talking about that, I saw this. Because here was the problem. My mind would drift. I'm going to pray, and I'd be praying for a little bit. And then pretty soon, I don't even know when I quit praying. But I come to myself, and I realize I'm not praying anymore. I'm thinking about this problem, or I'm thinking about that thing over there. Well, what do you do? There's nothing to do except, oh, sorry, Lord. And you start again. But I got to tell you, over those first few days, my mind would drift. It wasn't used to this. I had to, on purpose, see, this is why he brought it up. I had to, on purpose, focus again on praying in other tongues. That was the mission at the time. Now I'm still so conditioned, I can barely touch the steering wheel of anything without automatically start praying in other tongues. You get conditioned to do it, okay? Now, I think he brought that up for this. You can use that same principle when it comes to becoming constantly aware. Not only that the Holy Spirit is with you, he really wants us to go one farther, that the Holy Spirit is in you. Listen, everywhere you go, God goes. You are the temple. We are collectively, but individually. If you were the only believer on an island somewhere, you're the temple of God. And where you go, anywhere you go, God goes with you. When you walk in the room, we've got to start getting this mentality. When you walk in the room, God walks in the room. See, disease should get scared when we walk in the room. I think about Smith Wigglesworth just getting on a train, wasn't preaching or nothing, just getting on a train. Sitting there, minding his own business. But the presence of God. Because, see, if you really read about Smith, though, he's a big guy, barrel-chested Englishman. Had an accent. Instead of saying, you're healed, they said he would go, you're eeled. Eeled, you know. Big barrel-chested guy. But they said, those that knew him well, said first thing in the morning, he not only worshiped God, he danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. And he wasn't doing it for show. He was doing it the same way David did it, same reason. But he would worship God. I remember reading a story one time that these other ministers thought, hey, you know, we can hang with him. So they were going to have a prayer and worship meeting. They all began worshiping. I don't know how many. In my mind, there was like 20 or 25 of them. But I don't know if that's really right. But anyway, I do know that they were all began to worship. And the presence of God started coming in so thick that they couldn't handle it. One by one by one, they left. And finally, there was only one. And that's Smith. And the reason he could stay, he had been in that presence so often, he was able to breathe the rarefied atmosphere of the presence of God. The rest of them couldn't take it. Too strong. Remember Dave that time that he was in that love of God room. He was only in it for like a minute, he said. He was in there just in Dayton, Ohio, after a service. And he went back to just kind of recover a little bit in Pastor Jim Martin's office. And he said, suddenly he was in that room of love. He said, about a minute was all I could stand. That's all I could take. I think I would have vaporized. It was just more than I could humanly take. Well, apparently we can take a lot if we get used to it. So I think what he's saying to me is, and to you, to bring up that example about the trucks, there's nothing else to do except start again. So, Lord, we need to start off our day. Lord, I know you're with me. I know your presence is with me. Lord, everywhere I go, you're not only with me, you're in me, Lord. Lord, you're available to heal. Holy Spirit, you're available to heal. I'm letting you know I'm available to be your vessel. I'm aware of your presence, Lord, everywhere. Help me keep that first on my mind, not running to the drugstore, but pray. And as you get busy with things and you realize that you've come out of that, just like with the trucks, get back in. Get back in. I think Jesus stayed in it. I think Jesus was continually aware that the Holy Ghost, yes, sir. And that's a verse that I left out a while ago. Now, a really good one, which I'm not really, you can look this up yourself. Y'all remember that woman with the issue of blood? And she had said within herself, somebody, it says, had told her about Jesus. So she continually said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So here comes Jesus walking through the town. People are thronging him on all sides. It's illegal for this woman by Jewish law to even be out there with this issue of blood. She'd had it for 12 years. But she's going to get her miracle. And she comes and she manages to get through the crowd up behind him and touches the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus, in his humanity, did not know who it was. I don't think that's a joke there when he says, who touched me? In his humanity, I don't think he knew who it was. But it says he felt virtue go out of him. Why in the world it says virtue there? You know what that Greek word is? Dunamis. I felt power go out of me. Now that woman got healed by the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost is a molecule changer. He didn't say, I felt God come down and heal that woman from above. What did he say? I felt power, dunamis, go out of me. That wasn't his human spirit that healed her. It's the Holy Ghost that healed her. He never healed anybody before he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't that woman's spirit that healed her from within, because she's not born again. That only leaves one. That's the Holy Ghost. But the point of that lesson right there is that it came from within him. And when you pray for anybody and they get healed, it comes from within you. So pat your little belly. Out of your what shall flow rivers of living water? Now, I know it means not literally the stomach, but, you know, somewhere. How did Dave used to do that? Oh, it's deep. It's way. Would you say the belly button area? Remember? But it's deep. But out of you, the Holy Spirit flows. Hold out your hands. Out of these hands. Say it. Out of these hands. The Holy Spirit flows. When I lay hands on the sick, they recover because the Holy Spirit flows. Power goes out of me, out of this vessel, into them. Now the power is the Holy Ghost, but it comes out of me. I am the temple of God. Hallelujah. Now let's just say some stuff that makes the world think you're crazy. Just based on what we've read tonight. We'll start off simple and then get weird. Let me say it another way. We'll start off simple and then get truthful. How's that? Say the law of the Spirit of life has made in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am free from the law of sin. The truth is, I never have to sin again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of death and all of its cousins. I don't ever have to be sick again. I am as free from sickness as I am from sin. I don't have to sin, and I don't have to be sick. Beyond that, my spirit has been baptized by the Holy Ghost. I am the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. And when I lay hands on the sick, power flows from within me, from within my body, into their body, and heals their sickness, and sets the captive free. And it even heals mental disease. And devils run in Jesus' name. That's who I am. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.